Based on the best-selling novel by Stephanie Meyer, Twilight focuses on two young lovers swept away by destiny who destroy the delicate balance between the hunter and the hunted with dangerous consequences. Kristen Stewart plays 17-year-old Bella Swan, attracted to the impossibly good-looking and extremely private Edward Cullen, played by newcomer Robert Pattinson. Robert Pattinson gained industry notice at 19 years of age when he joined the Harry Potter franchise in Mike Newell's Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, playing Cedric Diggory. He also went on to appear in Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. The casting director called him both pretty and dangerous. Robert Pattinson plays Edward Cullen in Twilight, and he joins us now on the film's behalf. Thank you, Edward, for Robert, for being here. There you go. Okay, the cultural phenomenon known as Twilight, the four book series being, I think, the New York Times bestseller list for like 91 weeks, 17 million copies of the book sold worldwide with 37 country translation rights. It's insane. 350 fan sites devoted to the series. Mm-hmm. Zowie, what's your take on the appeal of the books and this story in particular?
I mean, everyone has their different opinion. I mean, but from a guy's perspective, anyway, because I guess they are kind of skewed towards the female audience. But I was reading it, thinking the whole time that Stephanie Meyer, the author, is convinced that she is Bella, and I'm just reading her private fantasy man. And so it gets to the point of like being uncomfortable reading it. And I thought, like, well, but it works after a while when you actually kind of accept it. It seems so sort of intimate.
Yeah, it's interesting that the take that she takes, I guess, I don't know what you would call it, I guess, modern and hip or updated or whatever. But the whole notion of using, and this is my take, vampirism for sort of teenage lust, mm-hmm. is really charged. I mean, yeah. that's kind of...
It's a perfect metaphor for
yeah,
it.
I mean, perfect. Because yeah. aren't kids, I think, what, age 14 to 18, males and females are at their sexual peak. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and adding a little bit of... you know,
fear
and blood to all that. You get romance and kink and all that stuff. It's just really,
yeah, definitely.
It's really, really something. The Cullen family is considered quote unquote vegetarian because mm-hmm. they only feast on animal blood. Are they more evolved, or how does vegetarian blood nourish them?
I think they're not as strong as the other vampires who
physically,
yeah, as vampires who feed on human blood. But it's fine. It's just like a question of discipline. I mean, that's another thing with the whole story. It's like kind of inhibiting your baser instincts and whether it's right to do that. And Edward obviously can't figure out if it's right or not. He doesn't really know if pretending to be a human when he knows he's not is worth anything at all. But it's funny because they live the complete opposite lifestyle of the yeah. the other vampires. They sort of they. Praise you know, art and music and stuff, whereas all the other ones don't care about anything. They just want to go around killing people.
Yeah, that's unique too. And this whole notion of Bella's scent threatening to send Edward into an uncontrollable feeding frenzy, that's very cool.
Yeah. It's like, well, I mean, the whole thing is like it's he's an addict and he spent his whole yeah. life just limiting himself the whole time, making his world smaller and smaller and smaller. Then Bella comes and she's just kind of an insignificant thing to him. I mean, his whole life is just not killing people. That's all he wants to think about. And then Bella comes and just breaks all of his discipline.
Yeah. How important was the look of Edward? And did you in any way contribute to that?
Yeah, they initially wanted him to have really long hair, and they put all these extensions in, and I just thought it was absolutely ridiculous. And so I said I put my foot down on that. I guess that was my contribution. And I like the idea of, who did I had? I had somebody in mind for my, what's his name? And I want him to have a kind of 50s haircut. He's an Irish writer. Samuel Beckett.
Beckett.
Yeah. Like, I wanted him to have Beckett's haircut.
Yeah, yeah.
A mix between Beckett and James Dean. And they didn't let me go for the full on Beckett thing. But, I kind of wanted a sort of a 50s look.
What, do you know the fashion equivalent for Edward's look, what he was wearing?
The fashion equivalent?
I mean, I know fashion like I know, I don't know.
I know. I mean, I think he's kind of just like, they just want to all blend in, but have this kind of, they were supposed to, in the book, they all have this like innate sense of style and like elegance.
Right.
And so they kind of, and they have a lot of money as well, because one of the families family can see the future. So she just like works the stock market.
Yeah.
So they have tons of money. Like, I mean, all of the stuff is like designer label stuff. But still, kind of, it's supposed to be able to blend in with the environment.
We're talking to Robert Pattinson, and we're talking about Twilight. I know you've talked about this before, but I'm going to put a little different take on it. This whole notion, the discussion of chemistry between actors and yours and Kristen Stewart's and the rest of the cast, is a kind of a tricky thing, I think. But then, on the way up, I was thinking, how much of chemistry can be quote unquote acted? And you know, I'm thinking of films where actors actually hated each other, but in the films you'd never get any sense of that because they seem to work so well. So, you know, and then I was thinking about maybe, you know, can it be achieved if you quote unquote act well, or how much of it is in the cutting or in the direction? I remember George Lucas, I remember for Star Wars Episode II, he said he had cast Hayden Christensen because in the audition process, he had a lot of quote unquote chemistry with Portman. But in the film, I mean, my opinion, you didn't see a lot of that. So could you?
Yeah, no, I think that, I mean, I definitely felt something with Kristen. I mean, and I think from what, I haven't seen the whole movie yet, but I mean, as soon as I walked into the audition, there was kind of, there was definitely something felt like right, which I hadn't planned on at all. But, and I think from what I've seen, you can see it. They can see, there is a look, there's a feel which feels different. It feels different to how, when other characters are in the film, there's definitely a different,
dynamic.
And it's just luck. Like, I mean, and we kind of worked on it afterwards, but I mean, the beginning was just luck.
You were a member of the Barnes Theatre Group in England. What did you sing in Anything Goes? I mean, what did you play in that piece?
What did I play? I was Evelyn Oakley, the English guy. What did he sing? What was it? I can't remember now. I can't remember what the Evelyn Oakley song is.
Okay, good enough. So how many interviews have you endured for this movie, for Twilight?
Hundreds,
yeah.
I just literally come from the 3-day press junket in LA, which is like the most intense thing I've ever done in my entire life. I've never done anything. And we were in this little cubby hole with just this. It was like being in a mental asylum.
How so intense? Just like one person after another, after another, after another?
Yeah, we do like 25 in a row, and people ask the same questions again.
Yeah, sure.
And like you feel like you're going mad after a while.
Yeah, yeah.
I know, I like just going completely off the point. And by the end of each, if you've done about 100 interviews, by the end of the day, you're like, I remember talking yesterday about kidney failure for an entire interview. That was it. And she didn't ask one question about the movie.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure the PR people loved.
Kidney failure. Well, that could work with the vampire theme, I guess. We've been in conversation with Robert Pattinson, a vampire for the new age here. He essays the iconic role of Edward Cullen in Catherine Hardwicke's movie version of Stephanie Meyer's beloved novel, Twilight. And so the lion fell in love with the lamb. I understand teenage girls have that tattooed on their arms.
Yep.
Wow.
And we slightly changed the line as well. Which is a little bit worrying. It's like there's one word different in the movie.
Yeah. Dangerous, thrilling, and sexy movie. Okay, for your consideration, Twilight. Robert Pattinson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Tim Sika for Celluloid Dreams, Internet Movie Radio at celluloiddreams.net and in San Jose on 90.5 FM KSJS. Robert Pattinson, star of Twilight, in celebration of 20 years of Celluloid Dreams. Last week, we brought you James Cameron, and we're going to be bringing you more of our interviews from our archive throughout the year as we celebrate our 20th anniversary. All righty, more Celluloid Dreams after this brief intermission break. Before you can bat an eyelash, we will have screen scene movie reviews with Peter Canavesi and Academy Award-winning actress Susan Sarandon. But you gotta wait, because it's time for intermission. We'll be right back, so don't go away.
The views expressed on Celluloid Dreams are not necessarily those of KSJS staff, management, or anyone else connected with the station.
Legendary stage actor John Barrymore's sometimes hazy memory was full of Shakespeare and poetry, and he refused to clutter it with bad movie writing.
"Why, Professor, I'm ashamed of you."
This is Stephen Chouhet with Hollywood Stories. He read his screen dialogue off strategically placed boards, then immediately forgot it. On one occasion, the heavy drinker only had to deliver one line. Yes, his personal assistant stood ready to hold up a cue card. One of the film techs informed the director that Barrymore's helper was in the way. They would not be able to light the scene properly. When the great man arrived on the set, the director said, "Jack, can I talk to you?" "Certainly." "Would it be possible for you to do this scene without your idiot card?" "Absolutely not." The director sighed. "Jack, you only have to say yes, that's it. What happens if I order your friend to leave?"
"Why, something still showing?"
Barrymore looked at him coldly. "I might say no." In the end, new lighting arrangements were made. For more great stories, go to HollywoodStories.com.